This is the Engage Your Destiny podcast, serving our active military, veterans, and families. Welcome to the show, where your destiny is our mission.
I live, breathe, sweat, and bleed for soldiers. Because I am one. And that's why Conduit tonight, I'm going to train you to become a soldier for Christ. I'm going to pull up the scripture. It's Isaiah 61, verse 1. Now, to set the tone for this scripture, Jesus, as he is starting his ministry, he goes into the synagogue, and it's his first time that he is going to read the scroll, and he's going to begin the first phase of entering into his ministry. And he stands there and he reads this verse. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has chosen me." Say chosen. "He has chosen me to bring good news to the poor." Say poor. "To comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives." Say captives. "Will be released and prisoners." Say prisoners. "Will be freed." Let me read that again. "To proclaim that the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." Mike drops, sets the scroll down, goes and sits down. The most powerful man in the history of the world, who started the greatest movement that has impacted over 2.6037814 billion people, founded his ministry with these words: "I am here to set captives free." That was his mission. In warfare, there is nothing more terrifying or horrifying than becoming a captive, to be taken prisoner. When Hitler began invading countries for the purpose of world domination, it emboldened country after country to begin to do the same. And on December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy, Pearl Harbor was attacked by Japan. The move to attack Pearl Harbor was really a power move by Japan to take more land and to expand their kingdom. They really didn't have the plan of entering into a full-scale war with the United States. In 1942, they then attacked the Philippines on the island of Corregidor, which was a two-day battle where the Japanese overwhelmed the American and Filipino soldiers there and took 75,000 of them captive. Now, none of them could have possibly imagined the horror that they were about to experience. You see, the Japanese wanted to take all of these soldiers and bring them back to Japan so they could serve in prison camps for slave labor. But they had to get them to the other side of the island to load them onto their ships, and so it was a 65-mile journey through the jungle, which they decided to line the men up and marched them for 14 straight days. 14 straight days was a crucible that will forever be remembered as the Bataan Death March. For 14 days, they marched day and night. No rest, no food, no water. If you stopped to rest, you would be shot. If you tried to drink water, you would be bayoneted. If you couldn't go on, you would be killed or left for dead. 65 miles without stopping. Some of the soldiers went mad with thirst, sprinting towards nearby streams or local ponds in desperation to drink water, only to be killed by the Japanese. The only way that soldiers could survive is if they could sneak water when the Japanese weren't looking by nearby streams, or to drink water out of puddles of mud. After the 14-day journey, 17,000 captives were dead. They were then loaded into the hulls of what were known as hell ships, and these were large transport ships that offered no reprieve from the march that they had just endured. They were crammed tightly into hardly lit cargo holds with little air, ventilation, food, or water for a journey that would last for weeks. Many died due to asphyxia, starvation, or dysentery. Some POWs became delirious and unresponsive in their environment of the heat, humidity, lack of oxygen, food, and water. Once they reached the island of Japan, they were sent to the prison camps where they worked 16 hours a day, 365 days a year as slaves for 4 years. This story is very personal to me because I grew up in a family where the greatest thing that you could do with your life is to serve this nation in combat. And when I was 13 years old, my dad started working with a Bataan Death March survivor named Alf Larson. And my dad spent 2 years going to Alf's house once a week, spending hours with him as he was processing and working through all of this horror to get it all out. Alf told my dad that the greatest day of his life was not his kids being born, it wasn't getting married, it wasn't building a business, it wasn't building a life. It was the day when he was 85 pounds after being in a prison camp as a captive for 4 years that he saw an American soldier come and say, "Brother, let's go home." This is a picture of where our world is today. Our world today is suffocating in hellships. They are being worked to death in their minds, in their hearts, from the torture of this world, from the constant barrage of social media, from the drugs, from the alcohol, and from the lost messages that is bombarding our generation. This world is captive. And what kind of people go in and set captives free? Soldiers. You see, it takes a soldier to set captives free. And scripture makes that clear. Because my friends, we have to realize tonight that we are not in a physical world war. What we see on the news, what we see among people, what we see happening is not the war. What's happening in with Hamas and with Israel and with Ukraine and with our generation and young people, that is not the war. The war that we fight is unseen. Reading from Ephesians 6, it says, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last." Do you think they're important? "Be supernaturally infused with strength." Say strength. "Through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious." Say victorious. Victorious. Say victorious. Victorious. Let's go, church. "With the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser." Your hand-to-hand combat, say hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that take and hold this dark world in bondage. Welcome to church. Church, we are soldiers. And our mission in life is not health, wealth, and happiness. It is to set captives free. So our duty as followers of Christ, not needing to be the leader of a nonprofit, not needing to be the pastor of a church, not needing to be on the mission field, as followers of Christ, period, is to be about the Father's business and to set captives free. So the question is, how do we wage war to set captives free as a soldier for God? We can do this in four ways. One, we have to believe. We have to believe that we are a soldier. You have to believe that God has called you to be a soldier. On July 4th, 1976, a flight was taking off from Tel Aviv to Paris, and a group of Palestinian terrorists took that flight hostage, filled with Jews and Israelis, and they rerouted them to Entebbe in Uganda under the covering of the dictator Idi Amin. And they sent a message to the Israeli government and they said, "We have 220 of your people and we're gonna begin executing them unless if you set our brothers who you've taken hostage free." And these were all Palestinian terrorists that the Israeli government had taken captive. And they wanted to set these men free for the purpose of destruction and death. So here are these men and women being held hostage. And Israel said, nope, not gonna happen. And in 7 days, they trained up and prepared a mission for 100 soldiers and commandos. And they went in to that situation, took down the enemy, and set the captives free. 7 days. On November 4th, 1979, a hostage crisis took place between the United States and Iran. 52 American diplomats and citizens were held hostage after a group of militarized Iranian college students stormed the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took 52 Americans hostage. They made their demands. They wanted people released. They wanted money. And the U.S. government did not train up soldiers. They did not activate the military. They negotiated. They used diplomacy. They relied on politics. And for 444 days, those people were held in bondage, captive. 444 days because they didn't send in soldiers. Diplomacy didn't work. Politics didn't work. Negotiations didn't work. All because they didn't send in soldiers. That's why to be a soldier, we have to believe that we are a soldier. And we have to believe that the works of a soldier are going to set people free. Amen? The Bible says anything not done in faith is sin. Say sin. Anything not done in faith is sin. This doesn't mean just looking at porn. This doesn't mean lying, cheating, stealing. This doesn't mean idolatry. I'm not talking about any of those sins. I'm talking about anything not done where you're not using your belief. Y'all tracking? Anything not done in faith is sin. And God is calling us into a place of believing who we are in Christ, who he's anointed us to be, the man that's living inside of us, realizing what he can do through us. Amen? We've got to believe. We've got to believe that if we call on heaven, heaven will answer. Number two, we have to train. We have to train as a soldier. If I were to send any of y'all into combat, would you go without a gun? No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't either. Would you go without protective body armor? Would you go without a helmet? Would you go without combat boots? Go in your stocking feet? Absolutely not. And that's why Paul is using this language, because he's calling to the average Christian and he's calling him to be a warrior for God. He's saying in Ephesians 6:13, because of this, you must wear all, say all. You must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Say victorious. Victorious. Come on, y'all, say it. Victorious. Ah. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you as you stand in triumph. Put on holiness as your protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, and you'll always be ready to share the blessings and the gospel of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. These are the tools that we have to train with every single day, because our war is not a deployment to Iraq. Our war is not on some foreign battlefield. It is right here in Williamson County. Amen? And we have to gear up every single day putting on the armor. So what does this mean? Putting on truth. The Roman soldier needed to wear a belt because their pants could not be held up without belts. It was essential. It held everything together. The belt also had armor on it that protected the family jewels. Can I get some amen from the men? Amen. Amen. All right. Protecting valuable things. That's what truth does. He's saying put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. The Bible says that out of your heart flows the wellspring of life, and to above all else, what? Guard your heart. Above all else, guard the affections of your heart. What Paul is saying here is that we have to take on the holiness of Christ. Everything that he died, resurrected, and gave himself for makes us righteous. And then we have to live in that righteous life, and it will guard and protect our hearts where we will be the most powerful. Amen? Come on, girl. Yeah. We got to stand to our feet alert, knowing that when we share the gospel, it is going to bring peace into people. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. The Roman shield was not a tool of defense, but a tool of advancement. They would lock shields together for the purpose of advancing on the enemy. Faith is an advancement weapon, amen? It's also so that it could extinguish the fiery arrows of the wicked one. Let me tell you about flaming arrows that would be used in that time. Those arrows were not accurate. They couldn't hit people. They were used for one purpose, to burn things down. Faith keeps us from the fiery darts and the lies of the wicked one so that we can extinguish it with faith so that he cannot burn our lives down. Amen? Oh, I'm having fun. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Salvation means wholeness, bringing our minds completely into wholeness. Some of you need to know tonight that you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. I've battled with suicidal thoughts in my life. I've battled with depression, so many different things. And what I keep coming back to in my life that keeps me whole is that I have the mind of Christ. And in this day and age of mental health and so many things going on with people, we got to come back to the biblical truth that we are in Christ and our mind is his, amen? And that we have the mind of Christ. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. Jesus said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. The word of God, filling yourself up. Bonhoeffer said, I start my day and the Lord has the first word and he has the last word of the day. The word of God has got to be the living, the life breath for our souls so that we can be fueled up to wage war against the enemy. Now, some of you might be saying, Ben, I've never been in the military. I've never served in combat. I've never been through training. I don't know if I can relate to all of this. And I'm here to tell you, yes, I've been through combat. Yes, I've been through all this military training, but I have been through something much more difficult. I have a toddler. Does anyone else have one or had one? Does that not push you to the limit? Does that not take everything that your soul has to get through in moments? Do you remember sitting there and he's screaming and won't stop screaming and you're trying to figure out, do I hit him or do I just sit there? What do you do? That's just like bullets flying at you. It's the same thing. Your circumstances do not define who you are. Christ does. And he is saying, you're a soldier. When we would go into combat, we would have pre-combat briefs. And in combat, you have to know everything that the enemy is doing and we would be briefed on his tactics and what he is about. The enemy of our souls is a liar. He's the accuser. He's the slanderer. And we need to get into our hearts and understand that every lie that he's going to try and put at us is based in two falsities. One, I am not good enough. Say, I'm not good enough. And I'm not lovable. Those two lies is what is a part of your pre-combat brief to know what he is trying to ambush and attack you in. I am not good enough and I am not lovable. Number three, we have to fight as a soldier. The language to Timothy here is very specific. He says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life with which you were called and which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, fighting for faith, for freedom, works in two ways. When you are advancing and you are fighting for freedom, the people that you're fighting for get free. And what happens as a byproduct, the soldier gets free as well. In 1776, when we said no more to the oppression of the British government and we went to war, those soldiers were fighting for the freedom of their people. And when they won, they received freedom too. And that's why when we advance, the kingdom of heaven for people, when we love people, when we pray for people, when we are about the Father's business and what he wants to do, we're gonna bring freedom to them, but we're gonna get free as well because we're on the offense. Say offense. Now, Paul is writing these words to Timothy, who is not a soldier. Timothy never served in the military, but he's using all of this military-like language. And in 97 AD, as a sold-out soldier in God's army, the 80-year-old evangelist, Timothy, tried to halt a procession in honor of the goddess Diana by preaching the gospel. The angry pagans beat him, dragged him through the streets, and stoned him to death. Sold out for the cause of Christ. When we would go on convoys, your lead gunner is your best, most visually acute soldier, because they are looking for one thing: bombs. And you put them in the lead truck because they are gonna have the first sight of everything. And those guys would literally memorize every piece of garbage, and they could tell you if a piece of garbage had moved or if there was a new piece of garbage there. And some convoys would be 3, 4, 8 hours. That's how detailed they were about what the enemy was up to and about people, about doing combat. We live in a time where we have never been more mentally taxed and mentally exhausted in the history of the world. Americans, the world, technology, the science has come out that we take in more information in one day than someone did 100 years ago in their entire lifetime. The details, you look at the phone, all of the details, the marketing, all those little pieces, it's more information than anybody ever has taken in. And what it's doing is it's pulling us and it's taking us out of the awareness we need to have for combat and people around us that are dying. Do you get what I'm saying? And guys, I get so repped. I'm so bad at this. I get so focused on my family and my wife and my son and my business and my work, and I just need a break, and I get out, and it's like, man, so many times I miss it. Standing in the line at the grocery store and just looking at that transgender gal that's working at the counter and judging her, right? Instead of looking and going, hey, how you doing? How can I pray for you? How many times do we miss these key moments where we can love lost people? Amen? And you don't have to be an extrovert to do it. Introverts, mama, can you say to someone, can I pray for you? Bam. Can you say to someone, hey, I just want you to know I'm going to pray for you in my car? Absolutely. Because as Christians, we judge them. We do. I know I do. If you're not a man and you're not living like a man, I judge you. Straight up. Absolutely. And you know what? God's working on me to see people because they have a soul and they are dying. Amen? Amen. Can you guys handle a little vulnerability? Number four, suffer like a soldier. I love this. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Say enlisted. The aim of the soldier is to please the one who enlisted him. This is from the Bible. As a social experiment by the Germans, 5,000 Czechoslovakian Jews, when they arrived at Auschwitz, were put in a special compound. They were given nice clothes, good food, clean living conditions, but they were still held as prisoners. They could see every day thousands of Jews come on rail cars and get led off to the gas chambers, never to be seen again. They could see the Nazis with guns guarding them. They could see the prisoners as skinny as skeletons from starvation. They could see it all. It even got to the point where prisoners were coming up to the gates and they were saying, what are you doing? You have to try and overwhelm them and get away. They're going to kill you. But denial was easier than believing that they had to fight. Denial was easier than accepting fate. One day they were led willingly to the gas chambers. They had spent 5 months smelling the smoke of burned Jews, seeing the ash and their beloved people disappear. But how could these kind SS men who know their names, how could they have ill intentions? It was only when they went into the gas chambers that they realized what was going to happen, that they put up a fight, they were gunned down with machine guns, the doors were sealed, and they were gassed. Denial was more comfortable than reality. 9 million Jews walked the earth in 1933. 6 million Jews were murdered during the Holocaust. Two of every three Jews in this world were wiped out. And the only thing that stopped an entire generation of Jews being murdered was soldiers fighting the axis of evil. It takes a soldier to set captives free. And so that's where the question is that I'm posing to you today is, are you going to live your life like the Czechoslovakian Jew who wants to live in comfort, who wants to live for yourself, who wants to deny the death that's happening all around you? Or are you going to live with a purpose in your heart, knowing that there's destiny on the other side of the souls of those that you come in contact with, and be about your Father's business? Amen? Jesus started his ministry with Isaiah 61 to set captives free. And the Bible says that it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's no longer me that's alive, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I live in the flesh, I live through faith in the Son of God who died and gave his life for me. Because we have died to ourselves and we are alive in Christ and he lives inside of us, there is a warrior, a soldier, a fighter living inside every single one of you if you call yourself a Christian. And that warrior is ready at all times and willing to fight with you, through you, beside you, because the world is dying. They're captive. Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. We are in a war. Heaven is the good, hell is the evil, and earth is the battlefield. And the battle is for the souls of men. We believe this lie in our country that there are those who serve and volunteer, and there's those who don't. And we'll shake their hands and be grateful for what they've done, but they serve. We don't. But in Israel, in God's land, everyone serves. Everyone serves. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Everyone needs to serve. I'm calling us into a place, not out of guilt or condemnation, but out of a conviction. Amen? A conviction, because I don't care about your feelings. No military person does. I care about lost people. And I believe there's three kinds of people in this room. The first is you're here and you're comfortable and you're living for yourself. And this message is convicting you. Good. It's time to die to ourselves and live for Christ. Amen. The second is you're sold out for Christ. Introvert mama here. You're who I'm talking to. You're living this message out and you need to be encouraged. Keep going. Put more gasoline on that fire. Pray bigger and bolder prayers. Pray prayers so impossible only God could do them. Amen? Continue to advance and do the work of the gospel. And the third person is you're here and you're barely hanging on. And you're listening to this and you're saying, Ben, I hear what you're saying. It hits my heart. You don't know what I'm going through. A month ago, I was at the doctor because I had come down with shingles. I was sitting there talking to the doctor and I was like, shingles? I said, doesn't that happen in older people? Sorry. You've seen the commercials, you know? And she said, well, yes, but it happens in people your age that are under extreme stress. I was in chronic pain, my spine all my nerves. It was awful. I said, stress. To give you a picture, my wife and I met 3.5 years ago. And 3 years and 2 months ago, we were married. Short engagement. 5 months later, we were pregnant. Didn't plan that one. The condo that we were staying in, the lease was up, and we felt God calling us to Tennessee. So we packed up all of our stuff and put it in storage. And I took my pregnant wife and our new puppy, because we're gluttons for punishment. And we drove to Middle Tennessee to move in with our friends, and while my wife is very pregnant, and look for a home. And by God's grace, we found a home. At the time, my organization was hosting a very large event down at the Daytona Speedway to reach veterans. It was extremely powerful, and we did an amazing work there. But after it, God called me in a new direction to really rebuild my organization to go on to military bases. And so here I found myself in an organizational rebuild, completely starting over, a new dad, a new husband, and in a new town with no support, no family, and frankly, no energy to build community. Our son had to have 3 different tongue tie procedures because of his sleep issues and didn't sleep through the night for 20 months. The ministry began growing, and I was speaking 10 times a week, which y'all, a lot of times speaking to soldiers is like trying to raise the dead. And so I looked at the doctor when she asked if I was stressed out, and I said, yeah, I sure am. And that's where I'm here to say to you tonight that I'm not bulletproof. I'm not Superman, and I'm not calling you to be either. But I'm coming at you with a conviction for the lost, because we have the light inside of us that can penetrate the darkness. And if we don't answer the call, who will? So why not us, and why not now? I want to invite you to stand to your feet as I close here. About 2 months ago, I was in the Word and I was reading from Psalms. And there's this beautiful truth that says, I will surround him with favor as a shield. And I read that and I texted it to my wife and I was like, man, this is powerful. I feel like we need to like pray this or grab a hold of this truth. And she said, well, I think we need to send it to our soldiers. Because we have, all of our soldiers are on a text platform. We can message them all over the world. And we texted it out to all of them. And the next morning we got a text back. And it was from a young man that we led to Christ back in February. We led him to Christ, and 3 days later, he was on a plane to Syria. He could not get away for 20 minutes for us to baptize him. And he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but yesterday I was room clearing, and I was the last one out of the room, and an IED went off, and I got blown up and thrown across the street. And when I came to, I heard the audible voice of God say to me, son, I'm not done with you yet. And he said, man, that shield thing worked. I'm not telling you that to talk about my ministry or what I've done. I'm telling you that because it's the most incredible thing that I've seen in a long time to remind me that God is still alive. And he's working. And this is where I want to encourage you today, whatever you need to do, if you want to close your eyes, or so I want to have a moment with God as I pray us out, that God has a calling on your life. Let us come back to the first love, when we had that first moment where we fell in love with Jesus and we burned with passion for him and for those that were lost. And I believe that God sent me here tonight for someone, because you've gotten apathetic. You've allowed situations in your life to make you bitter. And it's caused you just to focus on yourself because of the pain that you've gone through of rejection or betrayal or just being beaten down from life. And I'm speaking to your heart right now, come alive. And the stone of flesh, the heart of flesh that's in you that has become stone, let it become flesh again. And God is softening the pain and the bitterness in your life, and he is resurrecting you from death to life. I also want to pray for marriages in this room, for anyone whose marriage is suffering. And I want to say this, if you're having a really hard time and strife in your marriage, then one of you does not want to die and become more like Christ. One of you does not want to submit to Jesus and become more like him. Because at the root of all strife in marriage is selfishness. Been there again and again. And that's where I want to call you. Someone in here, your marriage is in strife because you are being selfish. And you need to lay down your life like Christ does for the church. There's also someone in here, your marriage is struggling because your partner has hurt you beyond what anyone could imagine. And you know what God is saying to you right now? Me too. Your partner has hurt me too. But I'm going to give you unconditional grace because I've given it to them. I'm going to put that unconditional grace in you so that you can find a way to forgive them. In Jesus' name.